Members, I'll call the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration to order. The clerk will take the roll, and a quorum is present. Members, Representative Peterson will move the minutes from the Monday, November 16th Rules Committee meeting. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Members, I will move Resolution 2010-R2, a resolution on unallotment litigation. Members, you have before you the resolution. This resolution deals with the ongoing lawsuit that is now before the state Supreme Court. A decision was made in the district court on this issue, and Governor Plenty chose to appeal the ruling of the district court, which saw in the plaintiff's favor that he, in shortened terms, I'm sure many or not all of you read the opinion on this, but that the governor kind of shortchanged the Constitution there and was found that his unallotment was illegal. And so he is appealing that decision to the state Supreme Court and asked for an expedited process. We had filed a friend of the court brief in our belief on the checks and balances and separation of power at the district court level. And this before us would have us retain outside counsel to move forward on filing another friend of the court brief at the Supreme Court level. We used our house counsel in the original case, as has been tradition before. In talking to House Research, their expertise is exhausted on the district court level. They have not ever participated in the appellate court or the state Supreme Court, either in filing a brief or potentially arguing in front of the state Supreme Court. So at this time, and I believe it was actually a suggestion of the minority at the first hearing, was to retain outside counsel, and we'd be doing that at this time. The reason we are here today is there are deadlines that you have to meet in requesting to file an amicus brief and also to get this process going as it is expedited. So in passing this resolution, we would just be continuing on with our belief in a friend of court version that we believe that the governor overstepped his authority on unallotment in how he did the unallotments. So with that, open for discussion on the resolution. Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, you said unallotment was illegal. Unallotment is not illegal. The actions of the governor, you're saying, was illegal in what he did on a lot. Is that you correct?
Mr. Chair, and this is not my opinion, this is the opinion of the judiciary, was that how the governor unallotted, the process of his unallotment. Unallotment itself is within statute and fully legal, but the process he used in signing all of the spending bills and then vetoing the bill, being preemptive in that way, was found unconstitutional and illegal.
In other words,
Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, you're saying that the timeliness of the process was illegal.
Representative Gunther, that was not just my opinion. It was the opinion of the judicial branch.
Your opinion, as much as I do there.
Okay, well, I agree with the judicial branch opinion. Okay. Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, you're asking us to fund an attorney. Do you have any idea what that's going to cost?
Representative Gunther and members of the committee, we have been looking at outside counsel. We would like to do it for as little money as possible. In looking around, actually, the costs associated with doing something like this is around $50,000. I think we can probably negotiate and get it for significantly less than that, if not half that price. So it's my hope that we can do this as inexpensive as possible. But and at the same time, I'm not quite too sure on what the governor has been, what this costs the governor to do, you know, with the initial case, which we spent, you know, no money on, to now the appeal.
Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Hoppe and then House.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I should know this, and I can't remember if I did know this. Is the Attorney General working on behalf of the governor on this case, or on the appeal, or on the original case, or both?
Representative Hoppe, the Attorney General's office and also the governor has his own attorney as well working on this. So there's two. And actually, it's not just Governor Plenty. It's also Commissioner Hansen and the Department of Finance is in the lawsuit as well. Yep. Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to offer
an oral amendment and get the opinion of maybe Representative Simon or you, or because I'm kind of winging it here. Obviously, I'm not an attorney.
Sure.
On the line 7, where it says, and to handle all related matters, I would like to strike all and related. So it would read, and to handle matters in support of. That all related bothers me because the scope of the lawsuit is so narrow at the current time. If it was broadened, what might we get into by hiring an outside law firm? This could escalate. It's also possible, I'll try to keep my opinion shorter,
no.
That this could be in June or July before we get a result from the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. There could be an appeal. I think if we could, that's my motion, if that works with the people that know the legal stuff.
Sure. Representative Howe's oral amendment would be to delete on line 7 all and related.
Correct.
Okay. Discussion to the oral amendment. I do have an opinion as well, but Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative House, I think it's actually advisable to keep those words in there, in part because, as you pointed out, you don't actually know what direction we're going to be going in or what might happen in a case, and the alternative would be that every time something changes in the case, we have to convene another meeting of the Rules Committee to take up another resolution to talk about what can be done. This just provides a little flexibility. Within the confines of this one case, it's not saying that we can go file a new suit or that something else unrelated could happen and we would jump on board that. It's just on this one case. And the I think a little bit of flexibility that provides is going to make it a lot more administratively simple rather than having to continue to come back to the Rules Committee for further resolutions.
Mr. House, as people debate this, could they maybe clarify what related matters would really mean?
Sure.
The scope of that, maybe then I'd be okay with it.
Sure, and I've learned this as well, not being a lawyer myself. Some of the options that might be before us on this case is there might be an opportunity to give oral argument and not just file the front of the court brief to the courts. Also, the Supreme Court may decide to move this issue down to the appellate court at some point. I mean, there are many other avenues this may take, and so we want to make sure that we're covered. And as Representative Winkler said, it's particular just to this case. So there's in no way can this expand in a way where we're involved in other lawsuits without us coming before and having an opinion of the Rules Committee. So there are different requests that may happen. There may be a request from the state Supreme Court that interested parties file something else in addition to an amicus brief, another opinion, another brief, and this would just make sure, as Representative Winkler said, we don't have to come back and redo this meeting all over again.
Mr. Chairman, since my plan did not work of my L.A. calling all the DFL members out of this meeting, I'll withdraw the meeting. but I still have the floor. I'd like to ask another question.
Sure, Representative House.
The Supreme Court ruling, whether it favors the Plenty or doesn't favor him, has a lot to do with how we proceed during session, I believe. If you passionately believe, which I think you do, that the governor in the process he used was incorrect, then I'm thinking if I'm you, I'm the leader of the majority caucus, I have to plan, I have to balance the budget, there's things I have to do. I'm probably in my head going to do it based on the fact that I think I'm right and the governor's wrong. But let's plan for the worst case scenario and the governor's right and we're wrong. Are we going to have an A and B budget going forward, or are we going to work on a budget, or are we going to wait till the Supreme Court rules? A lot of questions there, I know.
Sure. Representative House, I think that it's yet to be determined. We don't know how long this case will take. We know it's expedited, and we certainly don't know when that decision will come down. The hearing, I believe, is in March. The middle of March. We don't get our budget forecast until
March 2nd.
We have yet to see the governor's supplemental budget. So I'm hopeful that we either come to a reconciliation on the budget as necessary before the court makes a decision, or the court makes a decision and provides us an opportunity to rectify it. But just to remind folks that this court case only deals with $5 million on this one dietary program. And so I believe the impact will be of a court decision could be and would be narrow to that $5 million. And when you're looking at a $1.2 billion deficit and an ongoing $5 to $8 billion deficit, that's a manageable difference that we could reconcile.
Okay.
Representative Hoppe and then Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two quick questions. One, is there any precedent for this, for the House doing this, for any other matter?
Representative Hoppe, yes. I have in front of me, and I'd be happy to share with you, a list of 12 other instances where
okay.
we've hired outside counsel. Actually, the most recent time that the legislature hired outside counsel was during the bridge collapse, where we hired Great Plant and Moody.
Okay.
And just for an example on cost, that cost the legislature is a total $500,000. So we're looking at a significantly less amount of money and, granted, less amount of work, I think, in this instance.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, and maybe this has been handled the same way in the past, but how do we decide, if we decide to approve this, which I'm kind of thinking we might, how do we decide who we retain for this? Or would it be possible to take, you know, Representatives Hortman and Simon and Emmer and Coles or something like that, or do we need to hire an actual outside firm completely separate from the legislature?
There is Representative Hoppe, within our state statutes, the professional and technical services contract and the process of how that's done. It's a little different for the House of Representatives. It'll be handled through the comptroller's office. I think Representative Emmer is probably way too busy to help us out on this case. I'm sure he'd want to, but he seems pretty busy these days.
Any publicity is good publicity.
We would negotiate with an outside firm to retain counsel, and I think we can wrap that up in short order. Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Where we're getting is one thing, but where is the money going to come from? Because I'm assuming when it says retain outside counsel, that means we're going to cut somebody a check or give them some money. I'm just curious where the money is coming from, a budget or a line item or...
Sure. Representative Zellers, I can give you a specific line item within our House budget that we approved. I believe that was before you were on the committee, so we'll bring you up to speed, and I think this is a good time to bring the public up to speed. We do pass a budget in for the House of Representatives, and there are line items on there, and there's one particular line item, professional and technical services, is a line item we have, and it is for everything like these instances where we have hired outside counsel in the past. It pays for our audits that we have on a semi-yearly or every couple of years. It pays for issues involving employment law and the like. So this falls right in line with that line item, and there is funding in the budget available to do this. Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. I guess the short version I should have said was the taxpayer dollars or not. And in tough economic times, I was on the same path as Representative House on this as to all the related stuff, and not being a lawyer myself and knowing a few of them and knowing how billable hours work, not that we wouldn't hire a very reputable firm that wouldn't add on some stuff, but expanding the scope of the project is something I'm concerned about, and let's face it, we're in tough economic times. So Mr. Majority Leader, I had an amendment draft, and I apologize, we didn't have the original bill maybe, I guess, but it's quite simple, and I'll make sure to get to the pages, but it just says that no funds should come from a tax or a fee in the citizens. I just don't think we should pay for, the taxpayers should pay for this lawsuit based on the fact that half of the committee, or in this case, a part of the committee, our members, had no say, and no matter if we had say, as we talked about the last time, Mr. McCormick said even if they wanted to prepare our side of the argument, they can't. So I just don't think the taxpayers should pay for this. So that'd be the amendment I'd like to offer, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and as the amendment's being passed out, we can have some preliminary discussion about this. Representative Zellers, I just want to alert you, though, that the taxpayers are paying for this lawsuit already, and it's not because of what we're doing. Governor Plenty's appealing of this case is actually the reason we're here, and he's using the Attorney General and another attorney, so he is actually the reason why we're here and has been expending taxpayer dollars all along the way. I think it would be unfortunate and unfair, and this, I think, kind of goes down to the whole argument of separation of powers, that it's okay for the governor to use taxpayer dollars to fight this case, and we as the legislature cannot. And so I can't rectify allowing the governor to use taxpayer dollars for his position, which has already been deemed illegal and unconstitutional, and for us not to have that same justice. Representative Zellers and then Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And well, in that case, we've already, again, we already used the quote-unquote nonpartisan that are now partisan counsel. You've already done that as well. I'm just saying that we're not going to go out into the real world or outside counsel, whatever. I apologize, the resolution, again, we just got it a few minutes ago. So the outside counsel, again, we're going to go out, and you can argue the philosophical, but we're going to take taxpayer dollars, go pay a law firm to come in and sue an opinion for an opinion of 87 members of the House of Representatives. Or I take it back, not even 87, just the members of this committee, but it's established as a House position. I just think that's wrong. And you can argue the philosophical. We went through this when we decided how much it would cost Mr. McCormick to in his staff. You said, well, they're already here and working for us, so it doesn't cost us any outside money. And at that time, we're advocating using inside, in-house counsel, so to speak. Now we're going to go out into the real world, pay some other folks. I just don't think the taxpayer should pay for that. Whether or not you want to blame the governor for where we are in this, that's fine. I'm just saying that in this case, we shouldn't be hiring an outside law firm to sue for a position of a few members of this committee.
Representative Zellers, and before I get to Representative Hartman, I'm sorry, Representative Zellers, I find it interesting that you're arguing the exact opposite thing you argued at the first case. And I first want to stand up for our nonpartisan research and staff. Their job is to work for all of us, and the majority of this committee actually approved that. And that's how this place operates. That's how democracy operates. When the majority moves forward, I know, but Representative Zellers, I just think you should not, I hate to bring them into this in the way that you did by calling them partisan. They are nonpartisan. They do an excellent job, and the majority of this body, much as they do on every other issue, when the majority votes, that's what moves forward, like it or not. Now, many on your side of the aisle at the last hearing said we should hire outside counsel. That was definitely one of the arguments that I heard around this table last time, is we shouldn't use inside counsel, we should have outside counsel. And now you're arguing the reverse, which I just think is rhetorically interesting. Representative Zeller.
Fine, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And we didn't advocate your position. We said you should go out and hire yourself. If it's your issue, if it's a DFL caucus, not use your DFL caucus budget, and I know you're in the majority, so technically it now gets to be your budget. But we said all along, go out and hire yourself a good, and Mr. Winkler, Mr. Simon, whoever it is, hire outside counsel, but don't use taxpayer dollars. If it's that important for you, pay for it on your own dime, or have some of the folks in here do it for free for you. We didn't say, we weren't arguing for you to go into one of the administrative House Rules Committee budget, take money out of there, then go hire an outside lawyer. We were saying go and get it on your own. Pay for, have the DFL caucus, have the DFL party, whomever it is, have them pay for it, not have taxpayer dollars pay for it. So don't misrepresent my position saying we were advocating that you do what you're doing today, because that wasn't it at all. We were saying, go get your own counsel on your own. Have the DFL party or the DFL caucus pay for it, not the taxpayers. And that is completely different from what you're saying. If you want to slice and dice rhetoric, that's fine. But that wasn't my position.
Okay. I grant you that. But I also, the silence is deafening that you are not making the same advice to Governor Pawlenty for doing this. He's using taxpayer dollars both originally and continues to do so in his lawsuit. So, it's not apples and oranges. He's doing the same thing. I don't hear any outrage from you on that ground. That's important.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to amend the amendment.
Okay. Representative Portman, let's first, process-wise, I think it was being handed out. Representative Zellers moves the R2-A4 amendment to the resolution, and now Representative Portman is going to amend the amendment. Representative Portman?
After the word House, add or to the executive branch, and after the period, change the period to a comma at the end of the sentence, and add or on any appeal undertaken by the governor in the case.
One second. Do we have the oral amendment here?
Should I do it one more time?
Yes, if you could repeat that one more time.
After the word House, add or to the executive branch. And on line 4, change the period to a comma. And add or on any appeal undertaken by the governor in the case.
Okay. And we have that before us. Representative Solberg and then House.
Mr. Chair. I'd love to be able to tell the governor what to do, but we have a separation of powers, and I think it's just not appropriate.
Representative House?
My first question would be, could I amend her amendment? Is that an order?
That is not an order. I'm sorry, Representative House.
I request that she remove the word governor and put executive branch or put administration, because you have, in a way, it's a little too personal.
Representative Portman.
Mr. Chair, to the point made by Representative Solberg, we do appropriate taxpayer dollars here, and so as a legislator, as Representative Zellers is doing, I'm looking out for the taxpayer here. And it's my understanding, Representative Howe, that the governor is the one who did decide to expend further taxpayer dollars in appealing the case. That having been said, Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw my amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Portman. Representative Portman withdraws her amendment to the amendment. Further discussion on the Zellers amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Members, to the original amendment. Resolution, I'm sorry. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. At the end of this meeting, I just wanted to get into work, and I forgot to mention that you may have seen a scenery change at the front of this table. There is new staff to this committee, and Mr. Tom Vicklich, who is the former legislative assistant, has now moved from my right to my left. He is now the committee administrator, so all concerns and tough questions that you have concerning the House budget and Rules Committee issues, please see Mr. Vicklich. And we are very excited to have join us somebody who's been around the Capitol for quite a while, but she's new to the Rules Committee right now, Joan Harrison, who has staffed everyone from Irv Anderson to Martin Sabo to most recently Representative Dylan Slocum, and she's agreed to help us out on the Rules Committee. So please, in these next few weeks, take the opportunity to welcome Joan to the Rules Committee. Mr. Dicklich grew up there, but he now lives down here because it's a long commute from the Iron Range to the Capitol every day. All right.
But he can change his residence before April 14th.
All right.
Ask me for April 4th.
Any further discussion before we adjourn? If not, thank you all. We'll be seeing more of you next week and in the coming weeks. We are adjourned.